Pearl Church exists to express a sacred story and to extend a common table that animate life by love. A primary expression of our sacred story is the weekly sermon. If our sermons inspire you to ponder the sacred, to consider the mystery and love of God, and to live bountifully, would you consider supporting our work? You can donate easily and securely at our website, pearlchurch.org, or follow the link in the podcast notes. Thank you for partnering with us in expressing this sacred story.
God, on this Pentecost Sunday, as we recall and celebrate the descent of your Spirit upon us, I pray and ask that you would overwhelm our lives in this world with love. I pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. And please be seated. We are currently in a two-week sermon series titled Christian Feasts and Cinematic Motifs, which intends to celebrate the Feasts of Ascension Sunday and Pentecost Sunday through film. I've been so excited for this series over the year because I think that Christendom has often been at odds with the arts, at odds with science, at odds against all of these things that are not Christian, and yet all of these things, these mediums, these disciplines, especially the arts, can teach us so much and can actually help inspire Christian life as we think about these ideas, these artistic ideas that pair so well and so deeply with these Christian ideas. Today, the plan is to put the movie Amelie into conversation with the Feast of Pentecost Sunday as we celebrate the goodness of inspiration. Inspiration. It's defined as the process of being mentally stimulated to do or feel something, especially to do something creative. Now, to me, this definition sounds as if we're sometimes inspired. Like, sometimes we're inspired, but other times we are not inspired, as if inspiration comes and goes. However, biblically speaking, to be inspired is to be alive. The word inspired in English is in the Greek New Testament, theopneustos. Theopneustos is a combination of two Greek words, theo, God, and pneustos, from neo, wind, breath, spirit. I want to circle in on breath, God, breath, theopneustos, God, breath, or God breathed. In this morning's reading from the Hebrew Scriptures, we heard about this very thing. In Genesis chapter 2, God sculpted Adam, Hebrew for man. God sculpted man from the dust, and then these words followed. And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. God breathed. That's a biblical image of theopneustos. Filled with God's breath, we live. Which we could also say we are inspired. Conversely, emptied of God's breath, we die, which is to say we are expired. Inspired and expired, alive and dead. And so, with each inhalation, we are in a very biblical way inspired, animated by the very breath of God. Animated by the very breath of God. To do what? Well, that is up to us. We are given a life with all of its particularities, extraordinary gifts and extraordinary limitations to do what we want for all of the days that we are inspired. It's up to us what we do with our lives. And this brings us to the Christian feasts of Ascension Sunday and Pentecost Sunday. As we celebrated last week on Ascension Sunday, Jesus, the incarnation of love, love ascends into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, which is to say that love reigns eternally. And then, on Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate that this love, often called the Holy Spirit, sometimes called Jesus' Spirit, on Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate Jesus' Holy Spirit of love descending from heaven in what sounds like a rushing wind. A rushing spirit, same Greek word here, neo, a rushing breath fills this room. And this breath fills the entire house where the disciples are sitting. And inspired by this breath, we could say inspired by the breath of Jesus' love, the disciples run out into the streets and begin speaking to people who hear them talking in their own languages. Amazed and perplexed, the people said to one another, "What does this mean?" What does this mean? A little bit later in the story, they come up with an idea. They think all of these people are drunk. They must be drunk. But I love that question. What does this mean? You see, every person is inspired by the very breath of God, which means that we are free to live for as long as we have breath. But on this feast day, Pentecost Sunday, Christians celebrate the inspiring breath of Jesus' love. But again, what does this mean? In the 2001 French romantic comedy Amélie, we're introduced to its main character, Amélie, through a montage of her childhood. That's how the film begins. Born as a healthy and silly child with no siblings, Amélie's playful imagination keeps her busy. Her father, an ex-army doctor who now works at a spa, that's funny, is said to have tight lips and a hard heart. Her mother is a schoolmistress, and she is said to have shaky nerves and a twitchy face. At 6 years of age, Amélie, who like all six-year-olds, longs to be held and cuddled by her parents, is never touched, rarely touched, except for once a month when her spa doctor dad would give her a physical checkup. The checkup made her so happy that her dad was so close to her that when he put that little thing onto her heart to hear her heartbeat, it went like a drum so fast that he was convinced that she had some kind of heart defect. Deciding that she's unfit for school, she was taught by her mother, spent many hours alone, and lived many days within her ever-growing, eccentric, imaginative world. She did have one childhood friend, a goldfish named Blubber. But Blubber was in so much despair by how barren and cold the house was, Blubber kept jumping out of the fishbowl. And this was a strain on the parents, and so they dropped Blubber into the creek, kindly allowing Amélie to watch and to say goodbye. Fortunately, she found another love taking pictures, but when two cars went by right in front of her, she snapped the picture, they crashed, and she was convinced that she made the cars crash. And then at church with her mom praying for a baby brother, her mom tragically dies, leading to even more alone time with her dad, who seems to be losing his grasp on reality. That's just in the montage. As the childhood montage ends, we're introduced to the young adult, Amélie. She lives quietly and works quietly among her coworkers and the regulars at a cafe. Amélie rarely talks to anyone, but she always seems to be watching, observing, and noticing. On this feast day, Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate the inspiration of Jesus' love, but what does this mean? Amélie's answer was clear. I like looking back at people's faces in the dark. I like noticing details that no one else notices. If we were to sit in this room and watch a montage of your childhood, like each childhood of your life, if we just spent time doing that, I wonder what we'd see. Imperfect adults, that's for sure, right? We'd certainly also see extraordinary adults, that's for sure. Moments when bad things happened and we blamed ourselves, that's for sure. Moments when good things happened and we felt like the divine was kissing us on the lips, that's for sure. Disappointments and joys, that's for sure. Friends, real or imagined, coming and going, that's for sure. As a result of our biology and our environment, we are today a mysterious wonder, each person. There are particular things that each of us dislike. There are particular things that each of us love. I'm not sure that we spend enough time considering this. I mean, it's truly extraordinary. As a result of our biology and our environments, there are particular things that we dislike and there are particular things that we like out of billions of people, likes and dislikes, that are unique to each one of us. For example, I hate lasagna. I hate it. It's a whole story. I could tell you about it sometime. And I hate tank tops. I hate tank tops. Not on other people. You wear a tank top. But on me, oh, just... It's a whole story. And I love wearing gray t-shirts. If you ever met me outside of Sunday morning, I'm always in a gray t-shirt. Every few months, I buy 8 more gray t-shirts. I wear gray t-shirts all the time. It's a whole story. And I'm trying hard to not like wearing sweatpants all the time. I love wearing sweatpants. I mean, COVID came and I was in sweatpants. I have 3 pair of blue sweatpants that I just rotate. I don't know, every couple weeks I put on another pair of sweatpants. I love sweatpants. It's a whole story. Now, getting more serious, I love stories. I love stories. It doesn't matter if it's a book or a movie or a show or a person sharing. I love stories. I could sit and watch or listen to stories all day long. And I love being part of safe spaces where people can gather to learn and to grow and to ask questions that are really tender. I really love that. And I love ideas that make sense. Like, I love kicking ideas around and spinning them around and poking at them and trying to figure out what might be a really good idea that I can center my life around. And I could tell you about my mom's storytelling or our family dinner table where every story, especially the silly ones, were celebrated. Or I could tell you about small groups of friends that have welcomed me and loved me, or about how education has cut me open and made me grow. But it's also my temperament and personality all mixed together with my life experiences. It's truly a mystery, just as you are a mystery, just as what you love is a mystery. On this feast day, Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate the inspiration of Jesus' love. But what does this mean? Well, maybe it means considering the mysterious love that comes so natural to each of us. That'd be a great place for us to begin. I mean, it may not make sense to the crowds around us, and that's okay. The people in the crowds around us certainly have loves that don't make sense to us. What if our particular loves are like the index finger of the infinite, pointing us toward expressions of Pentecostal love that are unique to our very own lives? Amelie loved looking back at people's faces in the dark. It's unique to her. Amelie loved noticing details that no one else notices. That was unique to her. Surrendering to this love, Amelie notices a small crack in a tile against the wall. I love that moment where she turns off the bad news, right? The news, which was just kind of going in her apartment. She turns it off because on August 31st at 4 a.m., Amelie had a dazzling idea. Wherever he was, she would find the box's owner and give him back his treasure. How does this happen? Like, I wish I knew. Sometimes a rushing breath of love fills our lives with a thought, right? Just a thought, like you're just lying in bed in the middle of the night and you think, I'm going to forgive that person. You just feel it. I'm going to call that person. I'm going to go to that place. I'm going to build that thing. I'm going to dot, dot, dot. You fill in the blank. And again, this breath of love that blows into our lives may not make any sense to anyone else. It may sound like speaking in tongues, and yet for some reason we feel compelled forward. What if these invitations toward love are more than senseless thoughts, fleeting ideas in the middle of the night, passing ideas? What if these invitations toward love hold out the potential for real grounded and directional movement in our lives? Surrendering to her dazzling idea on August 31st at 4 a.m., Amelie gives much of her time and energy to find the owner of the box. Sometimes throughout the film, she's exhausted. Sometimes she's exasperated. Sometimes she's discouraged. Often she's doing this work in the margins of her life's responsibilities, and yet in her search, she was more alive than she had ever been. More alive than she'd ever been. About a year ago, I thought to myself in the middle of the night, you know what, I think I'm going to make this reconstruction class that we offer at Pearl, I think I'm going to make it into a podcast. Just make it into a podcast. I talked to my family and my friends about it, and they were like, will that be like work? Is it a work thing? It's like, well, it's kind of work, but I'm going to do my normal work, and I'm going to do this on the side. Well, how much time is that going to take? It's like Pentecost. I think they're rolling out the tables up there. There's a wedding. That's what's happening if you're hearing that. Well, how much time is that going to take? I don't know. Probably not that much time. I mean, I already have the content. It couldn't be that hard. And I got these interesting looks from family and friends, like, okay, you go ahead and do that. And so I spent a lot of time writing it, and I spent a lot of time like rewriting it, and I spent a lot of time rehearsing it. And then I got into my office, and I talked to my son Miles, who has like a podcasting microphone, and I took it into my study, and I ran through it a couple times, and then I did the first podcast, and I had to do it like 6 times, because every time I was doing it, an airplane would fly over the top, and it would catch the airplane. And so the 6th time I said to God, God, if you really want me to do this, there will be no airplane that flies over the top. And as soon as I pushed record, an airplane flew over the top of me. And I went inside and I said to Miles, Miles, this microphone, it picks up everything. I don't think I can use it. And he said, Dad, you just push that button on the side and it changes the way that the microphone hears things. It's like, oh, well, that's good to know. So I went back into my study and I did this whole thing, and it was exhausting and it was discouraging. And yet the entire time there was this joyful delight inside of me. It was like I just felt inside of me that I needed to do it. Not for anyone else, really. Really just for me, it was something that I felt compelled, like that I needed to do it. And I've had a lot of moments like that. And you've had a lot of moments like that. And it makes me wonder, what if this is how love works? Like, it's not necessarily a part of our work and not time efficient, and it's potentially beyond our skill set, and yet it just feels right. It feels right. We Westerners would rather think right. And maybe that's what holds us back from love's movement in our lives. Eventually, Amelie finds the owner of the box. She places it in a phone booth, and she calls the phone and makes it ring just as the owner walks by. Moved by finding the box, the man has his own dazzling idea, which is to reach out to his child that he hasn't spoken to in years. Fortunately for us, we get to see how Amelie's Pentecostal inspiration becomes inspiration for another. And it makes me wonder, is this how good comes about in the world? Like, a child was inspired to hide a box of beloved trinkets in a wall. Years later, a woman finds that box and is inspired to track down the owner. The owner then is inspired to reach out to his child. But what does this all mean? I think it means that the inspiration of love is, or at least could be, everywhere. Everywhere. Like, someone was inspired to write a book that inspired you to go in a certain direction. That's probably happened. And someone was inspired to paint a picture that inspired you to open your heart wider than ever. And your wider than ever heart touched some people and some things in some ways that wouldn't have happened had your heart not been open wider than ever. And around we go as we inhabit the breath of divine love, inspiring our lives and making all things new. And perhaps over time, this inspiration of love made manifest through our lives is able to lift every human face heavenward in gratitude and delight, inspiring ever more love. We've all been the man who just went on that walk with love, haven't we? And we're the better for it, aren't we? The inspiration of love has opened our hearts and made new worlds manifest in our lives. And this is what we celebrate on the Feast of Pentecost, that we have been mysteriously made to love particular things that are unique to us, that we wake at 4 a.m. with dazzling ideas, that the inspired love of others has inspired our own love, and the love made manifest through our lives is able to lift every face humanward and heavenward in gratitude and delight, inspiring ever more love. Yes. Yes, Pentecostal love, slay us in your spirit and make all things new even today as you take our hand and lead us into new life. Let us pray. God, thank you for the inspiration of love that has opened whole worlds for us. Worlds where we've learned to love ourselves, to follow our hearts, to extravagantly give of ourselves, to love others. And for the many ways in which this love blows around the earth, moving us again and again and again to become more whole, self-giving, loving humans. I pray and ask on this Pentecost Sunday that your fire of love would breathe over us again.
We hope that this sermon inspired you to ponder the sacred, to consider the mystery and love of God, and to live bountifully. If you don't already support our work, will you begin today? You can donate easily and securely at our website, pearlchurch.org, or follow the link in the podcast notes. Thank you for partnering with us in expressing this sacred story.